And the only thing that will take people to hell is sin. Not sickness. Nobody goes to hell for getting cancer. That's why I keep on preaching. You've got to hate sin more than you hate sickness. You have understood the seriousness of sin if you hate sin more than sickness. If you're disturbed because you got a little tummy upset or a little fever or a little cough or a cold, and that disturbs you so much, or somebody's got an infectious disease and you want to stay away from them, and you don't stay away from sin 100 times more than that, you haven't understood the seriousness of sin. You've understood the seriousness of disease. You've been educated. Oh, I don't want to go near people who got infection. But we don't look at sin that way because we haven't seen the seriousness of it. It breaks fellowship with God. No sickness can break your fellowship with God. Not cancer, not AIDS, not Ebola, nothing. But one little angry word, one angry word you spoke to somebody, your fellowship with God is broken. We take that so lightly. That's why we don't apologize. That's why we don't ask forgiveness. Because we don't value fellowship with God. It's very difficult for God to explain to us how much Jesus valued fellowship with God. That was the cup. He said, "Oh Father, don't take it away." Because he knew that for 3 hours, fellowship with God will be broken on the cross. He had to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The only time in the entire history of Christ that he ever called his Father God. He never called him by that name in heaven. He never called him by that name during his entire life on earth. It was always Father, Father, Father. But for 3 hours on the cross, the first 3 hours was okay. He would still call him Father. Father, forgive them. But they don't know what they're doing. We know it was still father-son relationship. But in the last 3 hours, it was not father-son. It was God, the judge of the universe, and a criminal hanging on the cross, bearing the sins of humanity. A criminal, one who had never committed a crime. My sin. He didn't die, he was forsaken. That hell, which we picture as fire, worms, and everything, not for 1 or 2 days, but for eternity, is what Jesus experienced in a concentrated way. You know how sometimes you can concentrate poison, and the concentration of eternal hell was concentrated into 3 hours. And Jesus faced it. It could be done because, you know, we are finite beings. And what finite beings experience in eternity, an infinite being like Jesus can experience even in 10 seconds. Because infinity makes it possible to experience eternal suffering in a short time. So because he was an infinite being, in 3 hours, he could experience the agony of hell that I would experience if I went there. That's what he experienced on the cross. And what was the worst part of it? Break of fellowship with the Father. Which we don't understand that, you know. We don't think of break of fellowship with the Father as a serious thing at all. I told you, that's why we don't immediately confess sin. I mean, if the lights went off in our house suddenly, we'd immediately do something out of it. I mean, did the fuse blow or did something trip and let me fix it? But why don't we respond like that when we've committed a small sin? Because we don't live in that intense fellowship with the Father that we feel is broken. The lights have gone out. When you commit a small sin in your life, think of the smallest little one bad thought against somebody else. One bitter thought against somebody else. You suddenly feel, hey, the lights have gone out in my life. Do you feel like that? If you grow in the fullness of the Spirit and allow your heart to be enlarged as you walk the way of the cross, that is the place God will bring you to, where you feel the lights have gone out in your heart because you thought of something that was bad towards someone. Not as a temptation, but you relished it. If it only came into your mind, it was a temptation. But if you relished it, it was a sin. If you were tempted with a dirty thought, that's temptation. But if you relished it, then it's a sin. The lights went out. You spoke one unloving word to your marriage partner. The lights have gone out. Do you feel like that? We don't value fellowship with the Father. Jesus valued it so much that we read in Hebrews 5 that He prayed with loud crying and tears. Hebrews 5, 7. I don't know whether you know them. Have you ever thought of this verse? In the days of His flesh, in the 33 and a half years that He lived on earth, that's the meaning of the days of His flesh, He prayed with prayers and supplications. This is not referring to Gethsemane. This is referring to the 33 and a half years on earth, the days of His flesh, not the last day of His flesh. Scripture is exact. In the days of His flesh. That's the first clarification that proves that it was referring to His whole life. He prayed with prayers and supplications, the loud crying and tears. I don't know whether He prayed loud in Gethsemane. I don't think so, because if He prayed loud, Peter, James, and John would have woken up. Can you sleep in the presence of somebody who's praying aloud and crying? I don't think so. Peter and James are fast asleep. He wasn't praying with loud crying and tears in Gethsemane. It was at other times. You know why it says He used to go off into the wilderness to pray? And what did He pray for? He wasn't praying for the silly things Christians pray for. He wasn't praying for houses and lands and vehicles and chariots to travel from Jerusalem to Nazareth or any such thing. He was praying to be saved from spiritual death, not from physical death. He would never pray to be saved from physical death. And we know it is spiritual death because it says next, He was heard. His prayer was answered. His prayer, He was not saved from physical death. So what prayer was heard? He was saved from spiritual death, which is the result of sin. Temptation, when lust conceives, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. James chapter 1, verse 14. So, He prayed, I don't want that smell of death in me. What He meant by death is sin. Sin is the thing that Jesus considered spiritual death. He prayed. It wasn't automatic. There was a battle in Jesus' life to overcome sin. That's why He says in Revelation 3:21, if you overcome as I overcame, you will sit with Me on My throne as I am set with My Father on My throne because I overcame. He overcame something. He overcame temptation. He asked us in Revelation 3:21 to overcome exactly as He overcame. He's our forerunner. He did not have victory offered to Him on a plate. He had to fight and get it. Like we have to fight and get it. But He's our example. And how did He get it? He prayed fervently. Father, don't let there be even a smell of sin in my life. Not one sinful thought. Not one sinful attitude towards anyone. Not one sinful motive. Never one sinful word. Not for one day. For 33 and a half years. You and I know how difficult it is to live without sin for one day. Jesus lived like that for 33 and a half years. It was a constant battle. And that is the greatest miracle that He ever accomplished on earth. That He lived without sin in our flesh for 33 and a half years. And at the end of it, He knew that now I'm going to be, this fellowship which I enjoyed with the Father from eternity, all these 33 years is going to be broken. And there He hung on the cross and He said, My God, My God. He was calling Him the judge of the universe. That is what He shrank from. And I imagine the conversation between Jesus and the Father in Gethsemane. And the Father telling Jesus, you don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to break this fellowship with me. You and I have enjoyed it for eternity. You can come, you have never sinned. You can, from Gethsemane, you can come straight up to heaven. But Zach will go to hell. That was the revelation I got. The day I got it, I wept, and I wept, and I wept. I said, Lord, what a revelation. This is how much you love me. And Jesus said, oh, Zach will go to hell. Okay, Father, then I'll go to the cross. Put your name there. I can explain it to you, and you'll forget it next week. Or you'll use it as an illustration somewhere else in a message. But when you get it as revelation from heaven, it'll radically change your life. Ask God to give you a revelation of the cup that Jesus drank for you. He gave me that revelation.